I'm Tara, and welcome to Sagas and Sass Season 4, brought to you by Geek Saga Entertainment. This is episode 91, which will kick off our Mars Madness debates.
I'm fellow Sagas and Sass host Jonathan, and what's Mars Madness, you ask? Well, with the help of fellow Red Rising fans, we've built a list of the 12 worst characters in the saga. And over the course of four total episodes, we're going to pit them against each other until we've narrowed down that list to the one singular shittiest character of them all.
And I'm your other host, Nick, here to inform you that our Mars Madness episodes will be packed with all the spoilers. So, listen at your own risk.
And I'm practically permanent guest host, Seth. Don't forget that the opinions are those of us as individuals and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of the show as a whole. Though, let's be real, usually we're all on the same page or very close to it.
Last but not least, don't forget to check out our Patreon. With 10 tiers ranging from $1 a month to $40 a month, it offers tons of ways to support us and receive some great perks in return. You can find us at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
Before we dive in, just a note on how we chose the 12 characters featured in round one. Basically, there are a lot of characters who do shitty things in these books. So in the end, we decided to focus on those who had been present in the text for the better portion of at least two books in the series.
For instance, this Nixt, Magnus Algrimus, aka the Ash Lord, despite his burning of Rhea, as well as Ajax Algrimus, who was a petty little asshole, but had very little page time even over the course of both Dark Age and the first half of Lightbringer.
All that said, with 12 total characters to debate, this means that round one will consist of six brackets, with this episode covering half of those and our next episode covering the second half.
The way this is going to work is that Jonathan, Nick, and Seth are the main debaters, and I'm the judge. While I will very likely weigh in from time to time on the debates, my main job is to make sure we don't get off track, to clarify anything that needs clarifying, order things stricken from the record, call contempt of court if someone tries too hard to be devil's advocate, and to bang my proverbial gavel. Okay, I won't actually be banging a gavel. That would be horrible to hear on a podcast. And at the end, decide who won worst character in each bracket. And on that note, I think it's time to get started with bracket number one, the rulers. This is Nero Au Augustus versus Octavia Au Loon. Just kind of go back and forth, you guys. Discuss why one is the worst or why the other is worse. And obviously, like, yes, devil's advocacy is okay to an extent.
I mean, I feel like this one is pretty straightforward. I feel like it's Octavia. She actually ruled the whole society. She did absolutely horrible, tyrannical things. I believe she had her father beheaded so she could take over his place, and then basically just perpetuated the same structure that he had already established. Decided to have Lysander's parents killed because they were reformists, but also I think a little bit because he loved them. There's a lot more that we can get into, but that's just like scratching the surface.
I mean, essentially the brainwashing of Lysander, we should also, I think, mention.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to throw in a dark horse for whoever was in charge of making the colors the thing in the first place, but they're not on here, so we'll move past.
They can't be on there because they weren't a primary character over at least two books. Those were the rules, buddy.
It's true. Yeah. I'm like, whoever set up the system?
I will say this. One of the things I was trying to figure out when I was creating these brackets after we had the characters chosen was, you're both narcissistic, but Nero might actually be more of a narcissist than Octavia.
Look,
I don't know. Thoughts?
Weighing narcissism among golds is like trying to pick which Hershey's Kiss is the chocolatiest. It's almost impossible.
A very good point, Seth.
I mean, I don't know. It's like, okay, so Nero obviously was narcissistic, but then again, not to continually come back to this, but Octavia essentially tried to remake Lysander in her own image. That's a real, like, well, I'm going to die at some point, probably, and not rule, but this kid that I've made into little me will continue my horrible, and he does, her horrible behavior. So Nero... He was like, I think this child will be weak, and so I will expose him to the elements and let him die.
That's what I was about to say. I was going to say, Nick did already mention Octavia killing her child and their partner. I think it was hers the daughter, or was that, I honestly can't remember. Daughter. She killed Lysander's parents. One of them was her child. I think you're right. I think I guessed right, and I think you are right, Nick, that it was a daughter. But Nero did in fact kill one of his children as a baby simply because it wasn't a good enough gold as a fucking baby. And he tried to kill the jackal, Adrius, for the same reasons. Unfortunately for everybody, the jackal lived. But at least Octavia had, like, my kid is an adult and they turned horrible in my eyes. So that's why I'm getting rid of them, versus Nero just being like, bye, babies, you're weak.
Killing the jackal would have been a benefit and would have improved his, how we considered him.
Right, but would the jackal have been the jackal if Nero hadn't been such an extreme fuckwit?
That's the nature, and yeah. I'm a believer in the nature.
So another thing for Nero, although I'm still Octavia wins this one, is that he did the whole thing with, oh crap, what was the name of the Bologna, that woman that he married and then killed?
Iona Bologna.
I'm going to write a series of children's books called Iona Bologna.
Wow. What assholes her parents must have been. Like, come on. We should add them to the brackets. But yeah, he did do that whole thing where he basically married her and then killed her just for revenge. But also the Bolognas were the worst to him and the Augusti.
Yeah.
Augustans.
Yeah, yeah. They killed his whole family and let him. Like, that was pretty... that was their mistake, letting him live, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember in Kill Bill where, I want to say, the first person the bride kills, her victim's daughter sees it, and she turns to her victim's daughter and says, if you want to come after me when you're older, I won't be raw about it, and then walks out. None of these gold families apparently realize, well, we'll keep one alive. That'll be fine. They're not going to hate us with every fiber of their being and seek to destroy us or anything like that. It's cool. Didn't Nero's wife die because he did something dumb?
It was because of the child that he killed.
Right. So yeah.
She killed herself.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah. There you go. Like, that's, you know, the one.
That is pretty shitty.
Let me pull a Jonathan here. Jonathan, you can weigh in on this if you want. So do we want to only weigh the immediate people they were supposed to care about murders? Or do we want to say all the people that they killed versus all the people that they killed?
Yeah. Then it's not even a fair comparison. Yeah. Right? That's a landslide Octavia decision right there.
Yeah, I mean, Octavia essentially authorized genocide, so...
Yeah, it was a genocide, it was like planetside.
Really destroyed planets for the greater good.
Right. The greater good.
Technically, it was a moon.
That's
valid,
right.
Point.
Yes. So was it Lunicide? I don't even
know. Lunicide.
Exactly.
Lunicide. Yeah, but Luna is Luna. These aren't words.
I mean, words got to start somewheres. I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
I don't know. Is anybody really going to say that Nero is worse than Octavia? Like, we can argue that
there are people who would.
Well, like, we do.
Surely there are people. I just don't know that we're those people.
It's because he kills Io, but it's...
Yeah, but he kills Io because he has to, basically.
Yeah, but he's also, I don't know. It's so hard for me to choose. I hate them both so much.
Yeah, but we have to choose. The whole point of this.
All right, I'm going
to
say...
Tara has to choose.
It's less that I choose and more that I have listened to all of your points. And if y'all disagree, then I'm the final vote. Jonathan, what about you? Are you side Octavia's worst too?
Oh, yeah. I actually sort of like Nero in his own evil way.
It's okay to like evil characters. A lot of people do, as long as
I like them
only when I can change them with love, like Hela from Thor Ragnarok. I can change her. I can fix her. Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry.
No, that's only in the what if universe. Okay.
I know.
I
mean,
maybe I didn't love him, but I found I was rooting for him more than his opponents. How's that?
Sure, that's absolutely fine, because his opponents were the Bellonas and Octavia, essentially.
Well, yeah.
And, yeah.
They all suck more than Nero does, so...
Yeah, I don't know that the
Bellonas as a whole suck more than Nero does. Because actually, like, the current Bellonas, the ones that are... I don't know if Cassius's parents are about Nero's age or a little younger... Cassius, the way he talks about his father and what little we know about his father seems okay. And let's be real, we all heart Cassius now, right? If we don't, then
yeah, of course.
We can be friends. So the past Bellona for sure. And yes, there's definitely the squicky, they allied themselves with Octavia to gain power on Mars, but they did actually kind of, I think they had deeper reasoning for that than is well like described in the text, because particularly in Sons of Ares comics, we learned that the Bellonas did not want to have to meet the insane quotas that were being put on them. Whereas Nero was like, yeah, I'll get your quotas, whatever. They pushed against it as much as they could because they didn't want to overwork their minds and the people in them. And again, like, this is kind of the lesser of two bads, but they were, at least as far as I can tell in recent years, a lot lesser than Nero was in a lot of these ways.
Except for the fact that even if we allow, well, this is getting off topic because we're talking
yes, about yeah.
And they're not up for debate right now.
Yeah.
But we should, like, if you're going to debate the Bellonas versus Nero, you do have to include Cassius's brothers. And
yeah,
like Carnus absolutely up there for shit.
It's just Carnus, Julian, and Cassius, and poor Julian. He seemed pretty chill, and he died.
Oh, you're right. I thought there was another brother for some reason, but you're right. It's only Carnus.
There's cousins. There's cousins.
Yeah,
cousins,
I think I was thinking of cousins.
Yeah, they're cousins. But anyway
yes, off topic. Back to Octavia versus Nero.
Do we have any other arguments for Nero somehow being worse?
Is it flip-flop their lives?
We're talking about the characters in the books. We're not talking about hypotheticals here. We're talking about the characters, their actions, and the consequences of their actions. It's
to be fair, though, you're probably right. If Nero had Octavia's power, he would have been worse. But he didn't.
Yes.
And she did.
But he didn't.
So we're putting
Also, something we didn't mention about Octavia that I think actually does deserve mention is she basically forced Aja to breed, which is super gross. So yeah, I think we can be done here.
Yeah, we're all of the same mind.
Yes.
Bang, bang,
bracket
bang.
One goes to Octavia.
Yeah. Yes.
You are the worst.
Round one.
She is the shittiest of the two rulers.
Yes.
Okay, moving on to bracket two, the betrayers. This one is Harmony, formerly of the Sons of Ares, but more recently of the Red Hand, versus Roque Alphabii.
This is a good one. This one, I think, is harder than the ruler's one.
No, it's easy. This one's easy.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
all right. Tell us why.
Harmony is the absolute worst.
Okay, lay it out.
Why?
Because she, in theory, was on the righteous side and turned herself into a monster far worse than, in my opinion, than those she was fighting by even killing her own people. So for all of the problems with the Gold Society, they generally don't just kill their own people without...
The irony of you saying that about Roque, in contrast to Roque, literally also it was on Darrow's side, went against him,
but
helped kill and slaughter tons of people of his own color and of other colors.
But it wasn't innocent people. It was, to me, it was Roque killed other soldiers, essentially, in a war that he switched sides on, as opposed to
that's just a fair
killing
point.
The civilians.
Because Harmony does absolutely just go into camps and slaughter Reds, theoretically, who are part of one specific subset of Red. We learn she isn't really that careful about who she's actually doing that to. And she also creates a whole system like of breeding women and all sorts of fucked up shit.
Yeah.
She basically turns herself into a Gold in a lot of ways.
Yeah. The whole point of the Sons of Ares was...
She's even scarred.
True.
She really is a Gold.
She's a peerless, scarred Red. Yeah, I mean, the point of the Sons of Ares was liberation rather than, you know, slaughter. So Roke was just
tiresome.
Just an extreme jackass. Tiresome. Yeah, like, Darrow, you let my girlfriends die.
That is actually a good point. I would like to raise that because with Roke, it was a lot of whining of you let my girlfriends die and you aren't a good friend. Yeah. Whereas Harmony did in fact have, I'm not saying that what she did was right, but she actually had reasoning behind what she did. The murder of her family and friends by Golds, like her entire life.
That's true, but like what Red can't say the same. Harmony was like, yeah, awful things were done to me. We're not killing enough people for my
It days. Is a bit like saying, you know, the reason why that person became a mass shooter is because of mental health issues.
Listen, I'm having to play devil's advocate here for some reasons.
And we
the
love
charges that, the Sarah. Advocatus Diaboli?
That should have really been what my job was. Instead of being the judge, I'm just the devil's advocate. maybe this will evolve for the next episode. But that said, I mean, so Harmony's fight against Gamma was actually, in fact, because Gamma had the medicine that her children mm-hmm. needed to survive and refused to give it to her. Or whatever. So it was a very personal, they didn't just by existing cause the death of her children. They directly, as directly as they could, cause the death of her children versus Roke just being like, Darrow, oh my God, like Quinn and Leah were friends and they died because of you. Even though like they were friends with him by choice and you know.
Yeah.
So just say.
He didn't seem to turn that blame on. He's like, oh, Darrow, you let our friends die. I'll go work on the side of the woman who is the boss of the person who actually punched my girlfriend to death, kind of. I never liked Roke's reasoning. It seemed to me like spoiled child and racism, essentially. Yes.
You're a Red?
Well, the fact that he tries to act better than Al... is what really bugs me about him. You know,
it's
I'm
galling.
Better than Mal, but I'm almost in like a worse space racist than most of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
that
I will.
That he thought was in love with him. Just whoa, dude.
Yeah. Space racism is it's interesting too, talking about two characters. Like we were debating Nero and Octavia. They're both Golds. They're both space racists. In this scenario, we are literally talking about one of the highest ranking people in the society, not just as a Gold, but like of the Golds. He is extremely mm-hmm. high ranking, particularly before he dies. And one of the people who is trying to lead a resistance against the space racists. And yeah, she does some horrible, horrible shit, but also has a lot better reason to be doing horrible, horrible shit beyond I'm a space racist and I want to keep being a high ranking space racist. Not that it's right. Again, I don't know who I'm voting for yet.
I agree
I'm
that
we're not convinced he's a racist as much as a classist.
Okay, but classism and racism are inherently tied together.
They are in our world. I'm not so sure they are in that.
How can they not be when class is directly tied to color?
I want to bang my gavel here. Hold on, let me bang my gavel here.
Color of skin, it's tied to color of.
It's a caste thing, right? But that's all they have in this world. So that's why we use the fandom term space racism. I want to say it was the people on Howler Pod that coined it. So it's a fandom term that just kind of has to bridge the gap between classism and racism and caste-ism. I mean, I guess we could call it colorist, but it doesn't have the same hilarity as space racist, if you ask me. So... But anyway, now that said, now that I have made my point of clarification,
yeah,
do we have further discussion of Harmony's actions and why she does them versus Roke using his position, not just as a Gold, but as a high ranking Gold to just be a total murdering?
I also want to remind people about the slaughter at the Triumph and how absolutely horrifying that is, like literally people stomping people's heads in, and that Roke betrayed everyone in order to enable that to happen.
Exactly. He knew Darrow was a Red, but as far as we know, he had no idea that anybody else knew. And it was just by lucky chance that Severo and Ragnar were not there. All these other people who, as far as he knew, I believe, because I don't think there's any proof that anybody else knew that Darrow was red. I don't think there's really any proof that Severo or Ragnar knew. Victra, Lorne, the Ra's that were murdered there. Like you said, countless other people and just the overall nastiness of it. Yeah, children. And he showed no remorse for any of that. So I guess that's my question, because Harmony also does a lot of murdering of children.
Yep.
Kind of.
Including a baby, lest we forget.
Multiple babies.
Yeah.
Multiple children.
Yeah. Well, there are multiple children at the Triumph too. Harmony, I guess, does it on a more grand, unthinking scale as revenge against Gamma and Gold. Roke does it on a more personal scale as a revenge against the single friend who he felt wronged him.
Yep.
Yeah.
For petty ass bullshit.
Yeah. There lies the debate.
Betrayal,
right?
Or the petty betrayal. I don't know.
I honestly think Harmony's worse, but I want Rope to get an honorable mention for being just a petty ass. We give him a very tiny trophy that says the pettiest person in the solar system.
You know, I'm not going to say that there's a chance somebody who lost could come back in one of the later rounds, but there might
be a wild card.
There is no question in my mind that up until the end, Darrow would have forgiven Roke. He would never forgive Harmony.
Because Harmony wasn't really his friend ever.
I know, but not, as I said, not that, that
that's how Darrow works.
Good, but I'm just saying.
Darrow doesn't give a shit about what you did. It's whether you were his friend.
Yeah, he really is
horrible friend. Shit. And if you were his friend, he's like, well, maybe we can redeem him.
I mean, he's trying to save the solar system with the power of friendship. It's very My Little Pony. I think he deserves some credit.
Except for the fact that he constantly makes the wrong decision because he's trying to save the solar system with friendship.
Hey now.
Making more people die.
He does trust people a little bit too easily.
He's like the opposite of Steven Universe, where like Steven believes in people so much that he like actually gets them to change their ways.
Yeah,
and
better.
Darrow like tries to get people to change their ways to the point where he will cause more harm by doing that than by actually just killing somebody.
Well, here's the thing. We are debating Darrow. We're debating Harmony versus Roke.
Yes.
So,
sorry. I apologize.
We're using this we feel that one is superior to the other.
Right. No. This is going to happen. I'm just, you know, trying to get us back on track a little bit.
So Jonathan has said unequivocally, Harmony, I'm actually voting for Roke. I think the things that he did were worse than the things that Harmony did on scale. Okay. Harmony did some horrible things. Absolutely no doubt. She's a terrible person. She did terrible things. They, on scale, do not compare to what Roke did.
All right, Seth, what about you?
God, I'm stuck. I'm doing great radio by being silent. Let me talk it through. All right. So we've got Harmony, she set up freaking trigger warning, everybody. She set up rape camps. Essentially, she had a rape camp. That's what she had. And then Roke was like, oh, things have surprised me and taken a turn. I'll become Grand Moff Tarkin.
It is hard to compare and contrast.
I need to flip a coin or something.
If only we had a judge who could help us decide.
If only we had a judge. Yeah. You know what? I'm giving it to Harmony by a whisker.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right.
A whisker.
I'll be honest. This one was really hard for me. I think that if I were fully on voting, which I don't have to, I would also be Harmony by a whisker. But that doesn't mean Roke can't come back in the end. We shall see what happens with our future brackets. And speaking of other brackets, by saying Harmony is the winner of the shittiest betrayer in the solar system by a hair. Bracket number 3 is the degenerates. This one is also very interesting. Adelantia Algrimus versus Lilith Alferin.
This is another tough one. Oh, gosh.
So I've got to say something. I think Lilith would have been higher ranked for me if it weren't for those chapters where we see her trying to be on Abominadrius's side and him just like shitting all over her. Like she's terrible. Like no question about it. But like there was the smallest sliver of sympathy for her because she's like, I love him so much and I want to do everything for him. And Abominatrix is just like, I don't even like this bitch.
Well, I mean, basically we're pitting Atalantia, who is, she's somebody that literally everyone knows and talks about how cruel and sadistic she is. Mm-hmm. Lilith is not as well known in the society circles particularly, so we don't actually get a lot of insight into her, but we as readers probably see more into her in the first book, Red Rising, and in Dark Age than other characters do even. In that respect, we know that she also can be very cruel. She likes seeing people suffer. And she is so obsessed with the Jackal that she will do literally anything for him. So
literally anything.
And this is, I guess in this case, maybe it's who's worse, the person who is cruel and sadistic for their own purposes or the person who is cruel and sadistic, but the worst shit they do is at the behest of or for another person.
Well, it's interesting that you put it that way because I think there's an argument to be made that Lilith is not her own person and she's just modeling behaviors that she thinks the Jackal would approve of. Is he in the room for the brain eating scene? I remember when she makes a what's his name, the brown doofus, who is like, yes, you'll lead us to freedom and the gold is still in charge, where he eats the blue guy's brain.
No, Jackal's not in the room for that.
Yeah. So, but again, that's something that I'm pretty sure she thinks he would approve of. He'd give her a gold star if he saw her making these low colors eat their own.
I also think that in Lilith's case, almost all of her horrifically evil deeds are we directly witness, as opposed to in Atalantia, it's all hearsay. So therefore,
yeah,
it may be just people who hate her and giving her bad press.
I mean, yeah, but it's probably like, I mean,
okay, this is the devil's advocate, Jonathan, that I was waiting for. I
was like, the whole thing with Ajax is definitely true.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so
when you say the whole thing with Ajax, I'm guessing you're talking about her grooming.
I'm talking about the grooming and the statutory
rape. Yeah.
Although, I mean, I think give Lilith and Abominatrix a couple more years and she's gonna.
I honestly not sure that's true because I don't think Abominatrix is into it.
But she gonna try. Oh, she's.
I feel like, honestly, based on the text, I think she has tried.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. He's like 11.
I think he shut her
down. All right. This is hypothesizing at the extreme.
Okay.
God, I need a shower.
Let's go back to not hypothesizing and how Atalantia does groom multiple young boys and also relatives and has sex with them.
Yeah.
She's just trying to prepare them for the future.
You're right. Well, I never thought of it like that, Jonathan. Now, thank you so much.
Before we go any farther, I do want to read something that another fan submitted when I put the poll out there when we were trying to decide the last few characters that were like on the edge of being included, right? So this is from a fan named Lila Quinn. I don't know if that's their real name, but that was what they signed this with. And this is a little bit long, but the thing about Lilith that makes her stand out from the crowd of awful characters is that we know pretty much nothing about her or her motives. We know she's obsessed with Adrius, and that's pretty much it. Pierce is very good about fleshing out almost every character introduced, so it's hard to spot any who read as one-dimensional. Even side characters usually get a bit of backstory or at least some additional motivation so the audience can grasp their motives. It's one of the things that this fan Lila admires about the series. No one is truly good or evil. These are their words. No one is truly good or evil as everyone acts according to their own wants or needs, just like real life. No one thinks of themselves as a villain. People don't wake up and think, how can I be evil today? Even the worst people alive believe they are doing what's right, or at least what's needed to achieve their individual goals. Writing this way makes Red Rising characters not only more believable, but also much more relatable, which in turn makes the role of both villains and heroes much more ambiguous and the experience of reading infinitely more interesting. 100% agree. Yet Lilith doesn't get the same treatment. We know she's obsessed with Adrius, but not why or when that obsession started. I think it's not even hypothesizing. It's pretty certain it was at the Institute. But
yeah, when she saw him eating the other people, she was like, fuck, yeah, I want that.
That's hypothesizing.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
Lilith's probably
got it from the record.
Lilith's probably got a four kink. I mean, I think we're all in agreement about
that. Yes.
That said, Lila said, I find it interesting, but also makes her stand out among the, let's face it, absolute crowd of characters to choose from. In this case, I think it also wins her the worst person spot on the voting list, which was, oh gosh, it was like Lilith, Antonia, Volsung Fa, and Publius was one of them, I believe. So yes, on that list, Lilith definitely, in Lila's mind, stood out. Lila asks, does she have goals? Probably. What are her reasons? Who knows? She's just creepy and gross. So much so that even Pierce doesn't seem to feel the need to investigate why. And when an author believes one of their own characters is too disturbing to explore, that's also a little bit of hypothesizing. We might need to strike that from the record. Well, Lila says, I'm inclined to trust their judgment and agree with them. Lilith 100% deserves a spot on the list, if not the spot on the worst people of Red Rising list. So I like a lot of what Lila had to say here. But now that I have read all of that, and because we had already kind of touched on, we don't really know as much about Lilith necessarily as we know about Atalantia. I don't know, guys, how do we feel?
I don't know. I feel like it's Atalantia partially because we do know more about her motives and they are so, well, sadistic and terrible.
And self-serving.
Yes. And so I feel like it's got to be Atalantia hands down.
I mean, Lilith is doing all this for someone else.
I know. I want to say this again. I mean,
she's devoted to Andreas for
reasons
look, we cannot comprehend. But
you're standing in a room. It's full of peerless scarred. You throw a rock. You're going to hit somebody who's sadistic for self-serving purposes.
Yes, but what Atalantia actually does with those sadistic self-serving purposes is what makes her the worst.
Well.
That said, I want to just make sure we mention that Lilith did rule as queen of the syndicate, and we don't know how much it was at the Jackal's orders. The syndicate did a lot of fucking messed up stuff at her orders until Abominadrius was old enough to be giving the orders himself, as far as we know. So there's also
she was also, yes, and part of that was collaborating with Atalantia.
That is,
yeah,
true, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because Atalantia is going hard after her right now. She wants to go to the moon and take care of business.
Atalantia just wants to kill everybody that poses any threat to her rule. That's why she's also controlling Lysander through the ways that she can control Lysander and was going to murder him until he basically made it so that she had to marry him, which then caused its own set of problems.
Shouldn't we give Atalantia points for wanting and trying to murder Lysander?
Oh, for sure. 100%. That's why she won't. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes.
It's Atalantia.
Yeah.
Once again, I am not so, I don't think it's, I could just be like, clearly, but I will give it to Atalantia by a whisker. Just giving people things by a whisker. Yeah. Would I like to see all the losers fight each other to the death to decide who gets the wild card? Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
I want to see all of these matchups be to the death. And then when the final pairing fights to the death and one person is left living, we kill them.
Yes. No matter who wins or loses, we win.
We killed them.
Yeah.
Is this in the Squid Game or something?
Why not?
Yeah, actually. Although I feel like I would rather all of the really mean Squid Game games, like the one where they lick the thing, like they don't get that. They don't get that. Yeah. Atalantia would just bring out her snake and he would help. That's all right, so Jonathan, so what is your vote, Jonathan? Are you for Atalantia or Lilith?
So I think Lilith did more evil things and did it in a more sadistic and horrible way as far as the evidence supports. However, I think in this particular case, she did not do it for her own interests. She did it for others' interests, which means she's just damaged beyond repair. So I will give it to Atalantia. I think she's not insane, and I think Lilith is insane. Lilith is not guilty by reason of insanity.
Mm.
As the judge, I will say that they're both degenerates. I just think that Atalantia is the more intelligent of the two and therefore has a little bit of a leg up on the situation.
The funniest thing is I actually thought the most degenerate, in my definition of degenerate, which I guess maybe a more happy degenerate, is the Minotaur.
Yeah, but he's a kind of decadent degenerate that we can all sort of
admire.
He's like, please,
not admire, but
anoint my body with the most delicious oils and creams. You know, he's hedonism bot. But
then I will wrestle you until you're dead.
So we have concluded our first three brackets. The winner of bracket one, the rulers, Nero Augustus versus Octavia Alun, was Octavia Alun by a landslide. The winner of bracket two, the betrayers, which was Harmony, most recently, I guess, of the Red Hand versus Roque Alfabii. And it was Harmony, but by a very slim margin. And bracket number three, which was the degenerates, Adelantia Algrimus versus Lilith Alfarin. It was another close one, but we're giving it to Adelantia Algrimus. Any last thoughts before I close out this episode?
Everyone's the worst.
Yes.
But some are a little worse than others.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone is the worst. All right. As we close out the episode, we just want to give a shout out to our Here's to Your patron, Tommy of the TKOK Podcast Network. Thank you so much for supporting us. Once again, I'm Tara, along with fellow hosts Jonathan and Nick, and practically permanent guest host Seth. At some point, Seth, or you're just going to be a host.
Like, at some point. At some point.
Season five. Don't forget that you can always hit us up at Sagas and Sass on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or email us at sagasandsass@gmail.com with any comments or thoughts you might have. As previously mentioned, our next episode will focus on the second half of our round one brackets, so stay tuned to find out what other characters made the first cut. Please consider supporting us at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment for early access to our recordings. And as always, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Sagas and Sass podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Sagas and Sass.